today's Stillmates Warrior partner is KIPP, Kinesiology Institute for Performance Specialists. I want to take the time to thank them for the offer that we provided during this episode and for teaming up with the podcast to provide a better listening experience for you. You can find out more about KIPPs at kippsonline.org or by visiting stillmacewarrior.com today. All right, guys, Stillmace Warrior podcast number 7. And today, like always, I'm excited. I'm honored. I've actually been waiting for this podcast for a while, but obviously it didn't happen because Leo's been super busy and he's been doing a lot of stuff. I know this because I'm a groupie and I'm always following him on Instagram. So you guys got to check him out on Instagram. But yes, we have Leo Savage, and I don't even want to try to say your last name. How do you say your last name?
You say it's Savage.
Just Savage. All right, cool.
Yeah. Go with the Savage. It works. All
right, right on. So yeah, guys, we have Leo Savage today. And, you know, the first question I ask every guest is, what's your story before Leo Savage, before Stillmace came into your life? Like, and then how did you get to Stillmace?
Man, that's like a... a long story. I'm 37, so it could be a long time, but let me I guess more or less so I've been in martial arts, whether it was in class or imagination and play. I've been a martial artist my whole life. I was on the wrestling team. I studied karate, I studied Thai boxing, I studied jiu-jitsu, I studied with wow. Greg Jackson in Albuquerque, New Mexico. And I've always just been fascinated with movement and moving. And, I studied martial arts at a high level because it was just kind of like the progression, you know, like you go through like your belting system, right, and then you get like your black belt and you go, like for me, I was like, well, what the fuck do I do with this? Like the goal is to get here. Now I'm here. What do I, you know, and I really wanted to compete in martial arts. So, karate introduced me to Muay Thai, which was more of a fight than what I was experiencing in karate. For instance, in the karate tournaments, when you would clash, they would break you up. Or if there was any type of clinch, you were only allowed to clinch for a quick technique, a quick throw. But in Muay Thai, it was like you could throw people, you could knee them, you could elbow them. Like you were taught to headbutt.
Straight on, savage.
Yeah, you couldn't do it, you know, you couldn't interact on the ground, but, I was like, okay, that was cool. And so after I studied Muay Thai for a while, I went to Albuquerque, New Mexico, where I got to study with Greg Jackson, and I got to compete and represent the original Gadu Jitsu system that Greg created. And so I was a martial artist and I competed in MMA and in karate and Muay Thai. And then somewhere along the lines, I got hurt and got out of fighting and got into the strength and conditioning aspect of health and fitness. And I got into a couple like big box gyms, and by big box gyms, I mean like, they have like LA Fitness and like all these like big chain gyms. So I joined one of those, and I got to learn a lot about a big variety of people, because, you know, all kinds of different people go to these like big box gyms. You have like people who are in great shape, people who are single and looking for a date. You have like kids, you have like this collective group of people to help. So, it taught me how to work with all different types of people. But the tribe at this big box gym was just something that I didn't really identify with. And so I was always seeking out like different type of workouts. And, I got big into TRX. I was into TRX, and I just thought it was a fun workout. And what I really liked about it is there wasn't like really any measuring stick. Like when people ask me how much I bench press, I say as little as possible. When they ask me how much I back squat, I say as little as possible. And because I'm just not really into like providing a number to validate my strength, whereas to like the TRX trainers, there wasn't like a weight on them. Like you could change the angle on how you use the suspension trainer and make yourself heavier in the effort. But anyways, I got into TRX and was kind of an outcast at my gym. Can you believe it? And
with TRX, that's crazy.
Yeah. I had a bright pink TRX set, so I'm a rebel. I was fucking rebelling. I always rebel.
That's fantastic.
So, like the barbell guys and I didn't like really see eye to eye. Okay, so fast forward, it's 2014, somewhere around then, and Brock Lesnar's training for a fight, and he was. I was watching like one of the like previews, like showing Brock Lesnar train for his UFC event, and he was like hitting a monster truck tire with a sledgehammer. I'm like, we've all seen that, you know, no big deal. But he was like using one hand with a sledgehammer and just like
Wow.
crushing this tire. And I thought, like, man, like karate would have been so much cooler if we would have had a sledgehammer as a weapon, like as a form. And I went to the gym and started fucking around with the sledgehammer. And it felt cool. Like, I really didn't know what I was doing. So I had some experience with the sword, and that was like my favorite weapon. And I felt like I identified a lot with the samurai and the Bushido spirit. And so that was my shit, man. But I really didn't have any knowledge of how to work a sledgehammer, so I just used it like a samurai sword, which is like very fucking hard because the two
Yeah.
pieces of equipment are balanced completely opposite. But nonetheless, like I found a real energetic charge from it. I felt like I worked out, but more importantly, more than I feel like I worked out, I was like, man, I feel like I fucking did something. I felt good. And the gym, they didn't, you know, they weren't into what I was doing, so they like, you know, kind of shunned me, pushed me more off into my pink TRX corner. So sometime later, I figured I'd had a healthy practice with a sledgehammer. I ran into this guy who was doing a kettlebell certification at the gym I was working at. His name's Ken Blackburn. So thank you very much, Ken Blackburn. I talked to Ken Blackburn about kettlebells. We got into a weird conversation because I had done some research on the mace and hammers. And you know, I asked Ken if he had ever heard of a mace, and he was like, "Yeah, I swing one every day." And I was just shocked because you know nobody knew what the fuck a mace was. And so he said, "Hey, I'll send you a couple." And he sent the gym I was working at three steel mace, a 10, a 15, and a 20. 10 are on it steel mace. And you know, I remember going in the gym and like being like, "Oh fuck! Like this is the real deal." I was like, you know, the grip wasn't clumsy like the sledgehammer. Like it was predictable. It was easier to maneuver. And I remember thinking like, okay, I'm gonna hit the bench and I'm gonna do some other stuff, and I'm gonna fuck with the mace for like 15 minutes and get warmed up. And like, I just remember like looking down, like as I was grasping for breath or gasping for breath, and like sweat was hitting the floor. And I was like, man, I've been at this for a while. And like I had set the mace down and my hands were like vibrating. And I was like, oh, okay, well, mess with the mace a little bit longer. And I looked at the clock and it was like 2 hours later. And
Wow.
I was just like, something magic happened in that 2 hours. I found a flow. I was able to really put in a lifetime of experience in martial arts and you know, into like, and like I have some different things I'm into. Like I was in drama, so I'm into theater. I used to dance a lot in high school. Not like organized, but that was how I met the ladies. So,
The
but
lady.
like I found like as I was experimenting with this mace, I got to put these little chops of my life into it. And like I just remember fantasizing about like when I was a little kid and running around with a stick in the backyard and like using my imagination and letting it run wild. And I had that experience. And sometime later, I ran into, or actually my buddy, he's like, "Hey, have you heard about this crazy Korean Viking guy?" And I was like, "No, who's that?" And it's this dude, Eric, Isik, we all
There you
know him
go.
as. And Isik happens to be a steel mace master coach for the Honored Academy. I'm like blown away that there's like a certification that these guys are offering. And I'm like, all right, well, you know, if I can get certified in this, I will be able to teach it. So I got, actually, this is a beautiful story, and I'll just rush through it because it's like kind of a long story. The gym I was at, they made it very difficult for me to succeed because I was an oddball. So money was tight. I did, however, have some really loyal clients who had made some tremendous changes in their lifestyle. Anyways, I had a client named Joylene Garcia, and Joylene realized I was being picked on because she was a victim of being bullied herself.
Yeah.
And she knew how important this Still Mace certification was to me. And I think she knew I couldn't afford it. And long story short, Joylene paid for a good portion of my Still Mace certification.
Wow.
So that's it was awesome. Like a continuous amount of gifts from people like Ken Blackburn giving me the mace. Joylene helping pay for the certification. And so I went to the certification and I was scared out of my mind. I wasn't scared out of my mind. I was very intimidated because I had already created a body of work using the Still Mace. And I came from very dogmatic systems. This is the only way you do it. You have to do it like this. Everywhere outside of this is wrong. So I was going into a system already with the system. And I thought like,
right,
these guys are going to tear me up. So, but if you've ever met the guys at the Honored Academy, they're a bunch of open-minded free thinkers. And after the certification was over, which was a magical moment for me. I mean, I'll never forget what that was like. The instructors, Shane and Isik, Shane specifically, said, "All right, man, now you have some extra tools that we've gave you that you can put with what you do." And I was just like, man, this guy empowered me to be myself. And it was the first time in health and fitness, like, that I was really allowed to do that, to like really express myself. Like when I was in karate, it was very strict, very narrow. When I was in Muay Thai, like you only kicked like this, you only elbowed like this, you have to make these sounds. So it was awesome. And so that's what I did before the mace, and more or less how I got introduced to the mace, my certification. There's another couple years of story in there, but that's the gist of it.
Yeah, so that's the summary. So for people, I guess when people get into Steel Mace, they go into it like traditionally. What you do is flow. Can you explain a little more about what flow is? Like if someone hasn't seen your Instagram and they're just wondering, what is Steel Mace flow?
Yeah, I would say that when you say people get into swinging mace traditionally, I would probably ask you to define that, because I think you might have a different idea of what traditional is than I might. But I would probably say that you're thinking of like the people who swing 360s, right, and 10 and 2s.
10 and 2.
Okay. I have a hard time thinking traditionally people stood still with a Steel Mace, a weapon that they use to defend their lives, and swung it for a repetitive movement. So I would say traditionally, people who probably used a weapon probably moved around and expressed themselves like all forms of weapons and martial arts. That's my idea of what traditional mace swinging is actual practice of martial arts through the mace. But there is a group that swings competition style that focused traditional gata swings. Mm-hmm. So way back when, the gata was like a very big, a very heavy mace, a very bulbous cement globe and a very thin wooden handle, preferably bamboo shoot,
right,
to really off center the mace or the weight. Now people in Persia have swung the mace for thousands of years and always used it as a training tool for combat. Somewhere along the lines, this particular group said, okay, these are the traditional moves that they would use. Let's practice on these, the 10 and 2s and the 360s. And then I would also say that in my experience, when people are introduced to the mace, are picking up the mace for their first time, I would say that they are probably not doing, and this is just my perspective, probably not doing the 360s and the 10 and 2 swings. I would say that there's more of an understanding that we can't just stand in a single plane and move weight. We have to move around and understand how these offset loads affect us. So I would just two different things, two different trains of thought. What is flowing with the mace to me? It's kind of like it's a hard question to like really articulate. It means a lot to me, so I would always try and be like very careful how I describe it. But if I was just going to describe it to people, I would say, like Bruce Lee had this saying. Like I said, I don't fear the man who knows 10,000 kicks, but practice one kick 10,000 times. So that's cool, but Bruce Lee knew more than one kick, right? He knew a lot of them. And the idea is you build up enough reps in this one technique, a kick, a mace swing, a transition, that it becomes permanently installed into you. And what I do is I rely on my instincts that I've built up over training with the mace and doing reps after reps after reps to move freely with the weight in no particular order, in no particular reason. Just simply, I enjoy moving it around. It makes me feel electric. There are some benefits to it. You know, people have said, like, for me, flowing is expressing myself. So when I grab my mace, I get to free my mind. I do not have to be mindful. I can let everything go and just dive deep into the moment of flow. I gotta kind of go off on tangents on flow. But flowing to me is just like moving from move to move and doing so with an open mind and a free form and being allowed to express myself openly and honestly. I talk about Bruce Lee a lot. You know, Bruce Lee has this thought on self-expression. And he says when people, and I, you know, I'm not the best Bruce Lee. I'm not the best quote guy in the world, but I can get the gist of it. Bruce Lee said when people ask him to learn how to fight, really what they're asking is to learn how to express themselves. Because for you to lay hands on somebody to defend yourself, I mean, you really have to do it. Like when I used to fight, I really had to express myself. I really had to, break the golden rule of stay in your own space. Don't put your hands on anybody. Keep your hands to yourself. Like to really hit somebody and to, you really have to express yourself. I mean, you can't do it halfway and wonder what happens. So, you know, I understand what I think I understand what Bruce Lee means about like being able to express yourself and how powerful it is. I think there are things you can do to build your body, but I think the flow aspect helps you build your mind. I can't say that it doesn't help you build your body because, for instance, like I said, I express myself. I'm like moving with the mace, dancing around with it, if you will. I can't discount that I am in fantastic shape for dancing around with the mace. And I just point that out because I want people to understand that flow isn't just for the mind. It's not just a form of dance or theater. I'm in the best shape of my life at 37. I've never had abs, but I have abs now. I don't do sit-ups anymore. Wow. This is the most I've ever weighed in my life. I've gained muscle. I've gone through a physical and mental transformation. And so I guess flow is really just perception, and your perception is your reality. So that's my reality of what flow is.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's funny that you mentioned that because I was going to ask that question. I was going to say, do you think that your expression in stillness is what's really built your body? Because I mean, that's one thing that a lot of people are attracted to when they see you on Instagram. They're like, wow, this guy has an amazing body. Do you think that stillness overall helped with that, or do you think it's a variety of like unconventional fitness that you've been doing?
Yeah, practice what you preach and practice what you teach. So I teach a variety of different modalities. So I'll probably spend 30 minutes a week, maybe, diving into a kettlebell or something else. But I spend 90% of my time, at least, probably more, working out with the still mace. And I always get asked, like, people will come up to me and like poke me in my biceps and my arms. And they're like, does the steel mace really work? And I'm like, yes. And, when I tell people that I use a 10 and a 15 pound mace, at 10 pound more than anything, people are dumbfounded because it just doesn't make sense to them. But I just challenge you to do this. Really get to know your modality of fitness. I don't care what it is. Really get to know it. And do it for 3 years like a psychopath. And if you don't get in good shape, I don't know what to tell you. But I think if anybody gets into something, it doesn't have to be the mace. if you really find, like, look, there's like all these different things of fitness. We talked about TRX, we talked about kettlebells, we talked about steel mace. There's like a billion different minds out there coming up with new fitness ideas right now. And one of these days, you're going to find something that you love, and working out isn't going to be a workout for you anymore. It's going to be like this like fun sanctuary where you've built friends and like made community and like, you know, and working out stops becoming a task. And like, if you can find a workout that you love like that, you'll probably get some serious fucking results. You do anything for 3 years, you're going to get great results. But, you know, like, I go back to Bruce Lee. Like, Bruce Lee was jacked, right? He was like 145 pounds, like shredded. And like, we all want like that Bruce Lee body. Like, when I ask people, you want to be built like Bruce Lee or you want to be built like Arnold? They probably say, yeah, I would rather be built like Bruce Lee. And I say, okay, well, why do you work out like Arnold? Well, it's just all we know. But like, when you look at Bruce Lee's workouts, like, he was a master of controlling rotation. And, you know, that's one thing that the mace emphasizes in is anti-rotation, purposeful rotation, counter-rotation. You know, those are the three principles that we use, or three of them. And so, I don't know, I always feel like Bruce Lee when I work out with my mace. I think everybody should
find you look their like Bruce Lee
workout.
You look like Bruce Lee with the mace. I'm not going to lie. You look like Bruce Lee. So talking about Bruce Lee, I've seen you work out with a blindfold.
Yeah.
What's the story behind that? Is it beneficial in any way?
That was like a really, I've never really answered this question before. So I usually just kind of, I brought it up. I say like, I hit myself with the mace in my face. And yes, it was when I was blindfolded. But I'll tell you about blindfolding myself. So I've had some experiences with psychedelics, and I always think it's neat to open up your third eye, so to speak. And one of my favorite things to do on a psychedelic adventure is to go into a place where there's no lights, because whatever you see, you're not seeing. So, I mean, you can, I don't know. It's fun. It's a fun game to play. It really, you know, you might see something, and it's a neat thing to think about, you know, where did that come from? So when I flow, all right, so I'll actually start this over a little way earlier. When I was young, I was like, I don't know, one of my earliest childhood memories, I remember I had this spider plant that hung over my bed, and it scared the shit out of me. And I would stare at it all night because I was scared of it. I was very young. And it was named the spider plant, if you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, Leo was scared of the dark when he was young. And I would stare at this plant, and it was neat. I started to like develop this thing where even though I was staring straight, like my field of vision would narrow, like almost just dim, and to where I was literally like seeing, like, I don't know, say through the plant or past the plant, but anyways, everything would go dim. And I've always been able to do that, like even to this day, like if I just stare at something, everything goes dim. And it's kind of like closing your eyes and staring at a light, like you can see like images or light. I know it sounds kind of weird, but I'm just going to get into it. So anyways, when I flow with the steel mace, that's something that really helps me become mindless. I don't want to think when I'm flowing. Like sometimes I just have some emotions I have to deal with, and I don't really want to think. So being able to like find that flow and like dim the lights proverbially, or however you want to say it, and I can really focus on the emotions I have that are present. I mean, because they're real and they're honest, and I'm tired and I'm broke down and I'm sweating and I'm fatigued, and I'm 100% honest in that, in my expression. I'm like flinging my fingers and being dramatic. And then there's these points where I can almost feel the emotions, like they resonate in a visual way to where I will see color. For instance, I might see red, and red might have a significance, but it might not be the same. It might be a feeling of love. It might be a feeling of passion. It might be anger. But I really just dive deep into this like subconscious thought when I'm in flow. And the thought was with the blindfold is I could really take everything away, or most of the senses away, and really just dive a little deeper in in that like area of flow. You know, it didn't work out. It was fun. It was exhilarating. But more than anything, I was just like concerned that I was going to hit myself, which I did. But it was awesome to like get brave. You know, I became brave with the mace. Like I started doing like hand release, like throws, and like being able to catch a mace and just knowing exactly where the fuck it was when I told it to be where it needed to be, was awesome. So do I recommend doing it? fuck it. Go for it. You only live once. Life's too long to live with regret and too short to live it. I don't know. Pretend I said something cool there.
Yeah, Leo Savage quote. All right. So, I mean, I guess that leads me to another question. Does or has Leo Savage had some challenges during steel mace training over the years or any fears?
Yeah, I'll actually tell you the fear first and then I'll tell you the challenge. The fear is that my work, I'm afraid that my work won't mean anything or doesn't mean anything. And fears don't have to be rational. I get love letters all the time. I get fan mail. I get support letters, whatever you want to call it. I'm touching people's lives out there. So, but it's a fear. I fear that I will be left behind. And they're just fears and challenges. I have had a fuckload of challenges from the day I picked up the mace. You know, that was like segregation, you know, I had a gym, friends, like work colleagues, like disown me because of how I perceived fitness. And, you know, I lost a job over it. I lost my relationship, like my 8-year relationship. I lost over the steel mace. You know, I could have been a more attentive partner, but I was just consumed with the mace. So. Other challenges I've had, segregation, like, there was this group of, conventional mace swingers who made a point to alienate me from mace swinging culture. There was a guy who put up a ballerina silhouette with a cross through it. And it said, it had this ballerina doing a pirouette and she had a mace in her hand and said, "Wow. Don't disgrace the mace. You know who you are." Well, they were talking about me because I'm the only mace ballerina out there. And it became a thing where this group started wearing leotards, well, the ballet thing,
yeah,
you know, and swinging mace to mock me. And you know, I fought a long, hard fight to show those people that just clearly didn't understand what I was doing. That I was, in fact, an honorable man and strong as fuck because of the system that I work with. And, I ended up earning their respect and we shake hands now and we're happy to know each other. But, you know, there's still like segregation in the mace community. And that's like one of the battles that I fight on the regular. I hate it. You know, the mace is such a dynamic tool. I mean, I can use it to be a ballerina, a warrior. I can use it to do reps. I can fucking break dance with it. I can carve a pumpkin with it. I can knock a tree down with it. I mean, it's like this never ending tool, both in like as a tool and in fitness. And for people to have dogmatic practices or say, this is the only way, my way is the only way. It kills me because I think we all have a lot to learn from each other. And as the mace has been around for thousands of years, but like up until the Onnit Academy, and there's some other dudes out there that have helped along the way, but the mace has really changed in a whole new way. And if it's changing like drastically, that means it's evolving.
Right.
And if we're smart, then we can't just say, can you imagine the barbell, right? You can only use the barbell for bench press. That's it. You have to do it with neutral wrists. You can't do it with hooked wrists. That's it. You know, like, yeah, well, you just can't put something that's so useful, like in a box. And so fuck the box. If there's a box, break it with your mace. Don't get in the box. Here's the thing about being in the box. It's comfortable. It's regimented. Mm-hmm. But we're humans, all right? Even if there's everything we want in this box and we understand it, I can only be told to be in that box for so long before I start looking at the corners, looking at the cracks, and trying to figure out a fucking way out. So fears, I don't want to get left behind. I want my work to mean something. Fights, struggles, I just want us all to get the fuck along.
There we go. Yes, I love that. Unity, for sure. And I mean, that's part of the reason why I started Still Mace Warrior. I wanted to bring you guys all together. You know, traditional flow, doesn't matter. We want to bring everything together, guys. So you've named your Still Maces. I don't know if you want to go through those names, but I also want to know, have you named your flows?
Yeah. So, when I was a young kid, I love video games. Actually, there's a video game coming out in 8 days, and me and all my friends are going to play the shit out of it. I love video games. Anyways, when I was a young kid, I used to go to the arcade, and there was a game called Street Fighter II. And I must have been like, 7 or 8. And this game cost 50 cents, which was outrageous. I mean, that was like we were poor, so coming up with 2 quarters was rough. But I was so fucking good at this game. I would just clean up the arcade. I would beat grown-ups at a video game. And it was the first time as a kid I was better than an adult at something. I don't know if you remember what that was like. Like, you figured out you were better than an adult at something. Like, that was a good experience. Anyways, I used a character named Ryu. Ryu made me feel like Ryu. He made me feel like this unstoppable video game character. When I swing my mace, I feel the same exact way. So I named my mace Ryu. The next question was, do I name my flows? I try not to, like, okay, so whenever I teach, like, my workshops or teach people how to use the mace, I would love to be a great illustration of things you can do with the mace. But at the end of the day, I don't want you to be me. Like, you and me, we could train for 12 years together every day, every workout session. We will never be the same. So fuck the bullshit. Let's just embrace that up front. Like, I don't want you to be the same. You know, you've got a little bit of background in CrossFit. I would love it. Love to teach you how to use the mace the way I teach people, and to see what you did with it with your CrossFit background. I do have some flows that I've named, you know, this flow, that, like, Diamond Flow, the Ronin Blade Flow. There's some cool flow names out there. But there's, like, I mean, the Combat Flow, there's a ton. I just did, like, a whole series on yoga and mace and flows. So, yeah, you can totally name them, but I'd rather just give people the tools to make their own. That's a hard technique to teach people. It's a lot easier, I found, if I just tell them, these are the steps you do, teach them, like, how to put together some flows. And then once they've learned, like, my series of flows, it seems like they start to understand it. Oh, I get it. You connected this with that. You connected this with this. Really, everything connects with everything. Now, I just spent last month I was in Bellingham, Washington, and I got to film for 5 days, 6 hours a day. So I have a ton of content coming out. It'll be for sale worldwide. I don't know if it's worldwide. Yeah, worldwide. Why not? And, you know, it's really got all my moves, all the names of my moves, and then a special masterclass series of Still Mace Flows.
I was going to ask you about that, because I've been, you know, again, I spy on you on Instagram. I'm like, what is he up to? I had this feeling you were up to something like that.
Yeah. There's been a couple of times I've tried to put my work out there, and just, these things are hard. They're difficult. You know, I've run into a lot of people who don't necessarily care about the Savage, but care about making money off of the Savage.
Oh,
and it took me a while to find some people who, I don't mind if you make money. Don't get me wrong. Make some fucking money. But the people that I want to work with, I want them to fucking care enough, because at the end of the day, I hope to inspire somebody enough that they can change their life. So, I take it very seriously. Anyways, I found a colleague, Summer Huntington. She's this beautiful creature from out in Bellingham, Washington. She's got this huge body of work. She invented club bell yoga, or she's the co-creator of club bell yoga, which is still clubs and yoga. Primitive tools and movement, mace movement. It's what I do.
Right.
She had me down for a seminar. It was the best two-day workshop I've ever taught. It was life-changing in so many ways. And while I was up there, we got to record my entire body of work. And
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And not only that, but Summer has a degree in kinesiology. She works for a company called Rad Roller, and put together, and she's got a 500 teacher training in yoga. But we collaborated on a joint effort in, like, what do you do before your workout? What do you do after your workout? Huge, vast styles of steel mace, not like dogmatic, this is the only way you do it, but there's like yoga in there, there's combat in there, there's like structured flows, stances. I mean, it's fucking crazy. It's only $5,000, guys, okay?
So, I was going to ask, is this going to be available online, like the stuff that
you have? Really, like, my big deal is I want to inspire people. I want to educate them, and I want to put a mace in their hands. So I have the workshops I do. I travel around and I teach workshops. Unfortunately, people can't, like, you know, travel across the globe to come train with me. I'm also in Austin, Texas, so if people have the chance, they can come in town and train with me. So there's really two avenues that you can get a hold of me. And then there's also now this online platform that'll be available. So there will be three different ways to interact with your coach. And really, I would like for them to all tie in together. If you buy the education material, I want to give you a break on the workshop. If you get the workshop, I want to give you a break on, you know, and so on. The great thing about putting this body of work out there is that'll allow me to launch my online workout brand. So if I just started putting out workout videos, people would be like, hey, that's awesome, but how the fuck do you do that? Yeah. So, you know, having a body of work to where you can understand the system and then jump right in. I have a lot of confidence in what I do. I have a lot of confidence in the people I've helped bring up in the Steel Mace Kingdom. You know, I've seen the way that I express myself with the Steel Mace. I've seen other people find that same flow, and I've seen their lives changed and their bodies. Some I'm very excited to put out there.
Yeah. Yeah. I actually was, I'm pretty sure I was one of the first ones to get your first video.
The Flow Foundation.
Yes. I gotta get this. I gotta get it. Yeah. You gotta see what the heck, you know, cause, I love your flows. And I mean, I'm assuming at this point, your following's getting a little bigger, and I think people are starting to ask, like, you know, I can't go to a workshop physically, and I'm probably one of those people. So is that, like, where the idea came from? Just maybe...
I originally worked as a personal trainer. So you get to affect one person at a time. Even though you make more money as a personal trainer than a group class instructor, I found more comfort in teaching group classes because I got to affect more people. After that, I got into the workshops because I could work with more people and, of course, provide more money for myself to continue the efforts. After doing workshops for this last year, finally amassed enough fortune that I could spend it all in one place and provide the, these films coming up, art film coming up. But I kind of got lost there. What was your question? I smoke a lot of weed. Cut me a break.
No, we're good. Okay, let's go into another question. For someone just getting into flow,
mm-hmm.
What is some advice you can give them? Where should they start?
Well, you need to buy a mace.
I
have a preference in mace. I prefer, I've been around all the mace. I don't want to, like, necessarily go down the list of brands, but I'm kind of addicted to the mace. So I've felt them all.
Yeah.
I prefer the Onnit steel mace. One, the price, I shouldn't say the price is number one. Number one's the handle. The Onnit 10-pound steel mace provides out of all the 10 pound maces I've been around, the Onnit steel mace, the handle on it is just perfect for the weight. There's a couple other mace brands out there where they make a pretty thin handle that much resembles a 7 pound steel mace, and they put that on the 10 pound mace, and you just don't get the full benefit of the 10 pound mace. So what happens is I'll see people move up to a 15 pound mace really quick because they're not getting the challenge that a thicker handled mace like the Onnit 10 pound steel mace gives them. I would tell them to start with the right equipment. If you're going to go play basketball, buy some basketball shoes. If you want to train with the world's best steel mace, buy an Onnit steel Academy steel mace. I don't get paid for that. It's just the best mace. The grip, the middle grip, there's a knurling on the Onnit steel mace. It's in the dead middle of the mace. It's not too high or too low. I use the middle grip constantly for cueing. So that's super important to me. And then I would say the price. That's, I think it's like the least expensive mace out there. It's like $40 for a 10 pound mace. So I recommend you get yourself a 10 pound mace. And where should you start? Well, have fun. Get to know your mace. If you want to be really good at the mace, prepare to spend a lot of time by yourself. You know, I love seeing people who have a personal practice with the mace who didn't necessarily take instruction. I just like to see how they move. One of my greatest achievement in coaching is being able to bring up or have a part of Serena Elizabeth's rise into the steel mace gypsy. Getting to watch Serena do her thing, I was constantly challenged by her as a student in that she moved in ways I didn't understand. Like, that's not technical. Why are you moving that way? Probably not right. And after trying to figure out what was wrong with what she was doing, I said, well, this is a natural movement that Serena does. How can we add structure or technique to that particular thing? So I love when people have a personal practice with the mace and I can say, hey, that's awesome. You are already you. Now let's add some cool stuff to it to keep you safe. Of course, I like to say education before domination. So if you're really going to get into the fucking mace, seek out some training. There's an Onnit Academy directory you can look at, and I don't know the link, but you can find a steel mace certified coach in your neck of the woods, hopefully. With that said, like, if anybody who has taken that steel mace certification, they've taken the same certification I have. Of course, getting a certification doesn't necessarily mean that you have been practicing it for years. So right. Learn what you can from who you can, keep what's relevant, and, you know, that's it. Get a mace, play with it. If you can find a coach, cool, find them. If they start telling you there's only one way to do something, leave, hit the door.
So how do, okay, that's a good question that came up in my head. How would you distinguish like who's a really good coach? Because you just said, you know, certification is a certification. But if someone was looking for a good coach, what are some things they should look for?
Man.
I know that's difficult.
No, let's see. If you wanted to look for a good coach, like, you have to be able. All right, like, just to say you and me. Leo, I'm moving to Austin. I'm going to come train with you. I'm going to buy a year's worth of sessions. We're going to train every day. Like, I would probably just go, I don't know if you like me. I don't know if you're going to work hard for me the way I'm going to ask you to. Let's figure out if we can have some type of relationship, because I'm going to ask a lot from you. I mean, I'm going to ask you more than anybody has ever asked from you. And I'm going to need you to be honest with me and yourself. So we should probably have a good relationship. You know, most coaches will offer you a free session, like a gym will offer you a free week. So use it. Figure out if this is something you're into. And don't be afraid to ask questions. And if you ever ask a question and you don't feel it's been answered to your satisfactory, like, just ask somebody else. Do your own research. And you know, most people out there are generally good people in the health and wellness business who work with unconventional tools. And here's why I say that. because the road to the goal isn't with unconventional tools. If I would have started doing barbell stuff 3 years ago, I would probably be doing pretty fucking good. But, you know, us people who use unconventional tools, like, I'll just rattle off some names. Rick Brown, he loves what he does. He never did it for money. He did it because he loves it. Coach Rich Thurman, he's out there in San Francisco. Got a lot of respect for that guy as a coach. There's Ben Walker up in New York. There's Matt Burberry up in New York as well. There's Jeffrey Oryx in, where's he from? Detroit. you know, there's a gym up in Chicago called MSP. They're the Viking Ninja headquarters.
Right. They're impressive for sure.
Yeah. They do their thing. They are good. Some excellent steel mace coaches. And of course, the guy who taught me, Isik, Eric Mieland, he is kind of the authority. So if you ever want to know, I only put this out there because he put this out there. But Isik said, hey man, he was on Instagram one day and he said, if you want to know my opinion on your coach, hit me up in the DM, I'll tell you. Something like that. So Isik would be like a good guy if you want to know how a coach is. He'd be the dude. I think everybody's like doing a good part, you know, and fighting the good fight. And there's a lot of coaches to choose from. Thank God, because that means me as a student, I can look at all these different dudes and, you know, learn from them and keep my craft going. Because, you know, I learn something new every time. I try. That's the goal when I pick up the mace. I try and learn something new. I try and find a new transition. I try and find a new swing or, you know, so, yeah.
Keep my education going, though. That's awesome. Yeah, we got to keep an open mind. Actually, I just got done doing the Mr. Maceman episode, so I'm actually really excited about that. And he had mentioned that we're talking about women in training, and he had mentioned that women actually have really open mind and that they're easier to train. And it kind of brought that up. What's your opinion on women doing steel mace training?
Well, I think it's the sexiest thing in the world. Let me be real. two things I love, women and steel mace. Yeah, cool. Rick Brown said women are more into our open-minded to the mace. I've seen it both ways, you know, like women are intimidated by a mace. So are men. But women aren't intimidated by the 10 pounds. Like, I'm comfortable using 10 pounds, as to where a guy might be like, I don't know. I'd rather use something heavier than 10 pounds. So of course, once you pick up a mace, kind of everything that you know kind of goes out the window, and the weight experience is vastly different than like a 10 pound dumbbell. Right. I think women are definitely into the mace. Men are definitely into the mace. I do not go for, segregation or separation, steel mace for everybody, not steel mace for an exclusionary pack. So I support women, support women's lib. I support bros lib, but I just think making something out there, like if I was silly enough to create like a steel mace men page, like, come on, please. Yeah. I'm happy everybody uses the mace. Kids, women, dudes, all of us, man. But fuck the lines. I'm not into them. The mace is for everybody.
There we go.
Maybe that should be the name of the podcast.
Huh. No, I guess I don't want to keep your time, but I just have one important question. When you flow, what's the heaviest you've gone? Because you mentioned that right now. Oh. You know, I think you said 20, but have you gone heavier than that? Is that possible with flow?
Yeah. Well, really your perspective on flow is like, of course you can flow with a heavier weight. I was flowing with a 45 pound barbell.
Wow.
So I was, we have a 50 pound mace at the Honor Academy I flowed with. I'll say this too. Like I do work out the 10 pound mace most of all. There's a lot of skill building. I can work out with a 10 pound mace for hours, and I really, really, really enjoy working out with the mace. So I'd rather have the 2 hour, 3 hour long experience rather than the 45 minute experience. So there are very few things I cannot do, or I can do with a 10 pound mace that I can do with a 25 pound mace. I can do just about all the same moves. I can't think of very many, and I'm really challenging myself to think about it. I think there's one or two things I can't do with a 25 pound mace that I can do with a 10 pound mace. Don't get it twisted. Just because I post a 10 pound mace video doesn't mean I don't use a heavy one or vice versa. It's a 1 minute, look how cool I am, Instagram video. It doesn't necessarily tell the whole story. Right. You can flow with whatever weight you want to.
There we go. Yeah, I wanted to know that. And I'm pretty sure a lot of listeners would probably want to know, like, what, you know, because I guess flow just has this this thing going where it's like, well, if you flow, it's usually very light, right? But I guess it just shortens your time. If it, the heavier you go, maybe it shortens your time.
Well, I mean, you know, I guess if that's the perception, but you can have a longer practice with a heavy mace. And a long mace, I guess that would just be what you're into. Yeah, I would say like the Viking Ninja guys, they flow with heavier equipment.
Right on.
So that would, I would in fact say that you can flow with heavy ass shit.
Right. All right. So is there any shout outs you want to give to the Steel Mace community? Anyone? I mean, I know you mentioned some people earlier, but you want to mention where they can find you?
I do want to thank you for giving a place for Steel Mace people to, you know, be interviewed. And I think what you're doing is cool. So I really appreciate you doing your thing. And, you know, a couple other people, of course, Serena, the Steel Mace Gypsy. Yeah, I wouldn't be where I'm at today if it wasn't for Steel Mace Gypsy. She was at my very first class. She was at my very last class. She's actually, I gave her a certain amount of, she's going to be making some money teaching Steel Mace workshops with your boy because she showed up to class every fucking day. So, you know, now she's a part of, she's always been a part of the Savage. Savage is kind of, I guess, the assimilation of free thinkers who don't give a fuck what your style is. That's us. She's always been a part of the crew, but, you know, it's just like time to start paying her.
It's time.
to be a part of the Savage, you know, and like, just because Serena's like part of the Savage doesn't mean like I encourage her to go out there and learn as much as she can from as many people as possible. Yeah. Like I know she has big plans to study club bell yoga with Summer Huntington, who is another great love of my life. Summer Huntington is the coolest chick, and she offered me a life-changing experience, and I will never forget her for it. Other people, of course, I always thank Isik Milan for coming up with the curriculum that has helped me change my life and many, many others out there. It is his teachings that I honor more than anybody's in the Steel Mace Kingdom. John Wolf, the fitness director for the Honor Academy, and Shane Haynes for always supporting me. And of course, all the different, the collective group of gyms who have had this crazy guy teach mace at your place. I'm going to Hollywood May 26th and 27th. For a workshop. We just put tickets up and we're almost sold out. I think we have 10 tickets left. So it's been great. It's the new 2 day format. Yeah. So like, here's an interesting thought. I might be taking up too much time, but
no, go for
it. If you take one of my workshops and you think you're going to leave there doing all the crazy shit I do, you're fucking right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh man.
I've been doing it so long and I have been teaching it for so long. I've broken it down and I have enough confidence that I can teach anybody to do some of the most intricate, elaborate moves and make it simple.
Right on.
Which is a neat thing to tell people, because when you look at somebody who really has an art to something, you say, man, that guy's gifted. Nobody can learn that. He must be blessed. But then when you start seeing examples of it, like Serena and Nat Burberry and Jeffrey, and so the list goes on, you start thinking, well, man, there is a way to do that. And as the system, cleans itself up, the lessons are more impactful, more precise. But yeah, so I guess that's really it. Shout out to gravity for making things spin when I hold on to them.
Yeah, and for those who want to check out, I think it's episode 2, we have a podcast with Serena. We have a podcast right out there. So I just want to make sure that the listeners know that in case you want to know more about Serena Still Mace Gypsy, we have a podcast out with her. And she has some really cool tips on still bass. Anyways, thank you. Thank you so much for taking
you're welcome.
You know, taking time to be on this podcast. I really appreciate it. I know you're like super busy. You've been doing so much and I'm honored. I'm honored. I really am.
Dude, I'm like, I don't have anything to do for 4 weeks.
Yes. Oh,
I'm kind of chilling. It was great to have some time to catch up with you. Keep doing what you're doing. We really need somebody who advocates for everybody out there and gets to introduce Mace people to Mace people.
Yeah.
All right.
All righty. Okay. Thank you. May the universe.